Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
In association with Viatel Technology Group, IT leaders breathe easy with Viatel Managed Cybersecurity. Viatel.com.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll review two devices from Honor, the smartphone manufacturer you may not have heard of, but you're definitely going to want to know. Ed Harty, the president of Engineers Ireland, will be in to talk about the work that they continue to do in their organisation. And as ever, we'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But we're going to start this week with smartphones, because there's an awful lot going on. I'm not going to lie. We have been testing out some new models that I've not used before. And I'm delighted to say that John Riley of TheEffect.net is with me now. John, how are you?
Good, Jess. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much. So you are back with phones this time. You will be back, of course, talking gaming very soon. But we have been testing between us new devices from Honor. Before we get into the phones themselves, what do we know about the company?
Yeah, so Honor is a Chinese manufacturer, kind of similar to what OnePlus would be, or even Huawei, which some listeners might remember. Unfortunately, Huawei got slapped with a bit of a restriction on the kind of services and the software operating systems they could use on the devices in terms of Google products. So again, people that had Huawei phones back in the day will remember how good and kind of cutting edge they were with their cameras and everything else. But then the restriction causing the reduced availability of Google's operating system, or Google software more so, like the Play Store for downloading apps, really did hamper it and cripple its kind of its success here in Western Europe anyway. These devices were never, Huawei was never really available in North America to begin with, but just the US government just didn't like the potential connections to the Chinese government itself via Huawei. So now we have Honor, which is now completely spun off into its own entity, but it has a lot of the trademarks of Huawei in terms of its innovation, its cutting-edge features, and its ability to filter down these kind of top-of-the-line features to the more kind of price-friendly devices. So I think we'll be touching on both their cutting-edge device and a more pocket-friendly device later on with this, you know, with our chat.
Yeah, I was really excited to get my hands on them because, again, they're a brand that I'd heard of, but I hadn't really used the devices. And I think there was such a hole left in the market, as you said there, by what happened to Huawei. You know, the Huawei P20 and the P30 were absolute game changers. And I was encouraging people to buy them over the likes of the Samsungs and so on, just because of the value for money. So let's stick with that value price point to begin with and talk about the Honor Magic 6 Lite. This is the more pocket-friendly one that you alluded to there.
Yes. So, yeah, we're coming in at the not the complete nutter entry point, but kind of semi-entry to mid-range device that Honor, one of the latest devices they brought to the Irish market. So, yeah, the Magic 6 Lite is obviously the entry level of their Magic 6 range. So they do have a Magic 6 Pro, which is kind of like any other smartphone line that has the Pro model with the Pro features. But the Lite in its own right really does have some of its own standout features. So you're looking at about, you know, Harvey Norman have it starting at 339, which is a very good price for what you're getting. And it's available on Three. It's available on Tesco Mobile. Those guys are doing it for free. So you can get it on bill pay from free. And then, you, as I said, starting at 339. So this device is quite a substantial device. You know, usually these entry-level devices are a bit smaller, a bit more petite, but this has got a 6.7-inch display, AMOLED. Again, great to see. Kind of hard. I've always said it on your show, it's hard to buy a crap phone these days. So when you're getting OLED screens of this quality at this price point, you know the consumer's winning. You've got a good resolution here. You've got full HD plus 120 hertz refresh rate. A lot of the bells and whistles we heard about a couple of years ago on the flagships is now, as I said, already coming down to these more entry-level devices. So Honor know what they're doing here. Again, similar to what Huawei did with their entry-level devices, putting those cutting-edge features at an affordable price point. A really decent but mid-range, in inverted commas, processor, Snapdragon 6 Gen 1. But again, most people, vast majority of people, won't really notice the difference between the cutting edge and this kind of general processor. What I find very impressive about this device, more than anything really, is its battery size. It's 5,300 milliamp hour battery. So again, numbers to your listeners don't really matter, but the latest Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra, which is their top of the line flagship, has a 5,000 milliamp hour battery. So this is 300 milliamps more in for 339 euros. So this can go to 2 days without breaking a sweat. It's really, really impressive for this price point.
Yeah, I was blown away by it. I had it for around a week, and I have to say, I struggled to find a flaw with it, because the spec that you just talked us through there, for the average smartphone user, obviously people like you and I are a pain in the face and we demand a lot for our devices, but for the average smartphone user, the spec sheet on this phone will tick all of the boxes. I was also really impressed by the camera as well. What did you make of it?
Yeah, so like on the rear, you've got three camera sensors, and the one that everyone's going to really care about is the main sensor, which kind of you're going to be whipping out your phone, grabbing that shot and putting it back in your pocket. That's a 108 megapixel camera that bends down, or basically compacts the end photo down into a 12 megapixel image. So you're not, you know, you can take 108 megapixel big full res images, but if you let it bin down to this 12 megapixel image, it's going to do all its camera trickery to give you the best output using AI and everything else on top. Again, at this price point is very impressive. I was really impressed with this this main sensor, but that's not to say there's an ultra wide camera also on the back, but it's only 5 megapixel. But even on a good day, I just took a couple images there myself before this call, just again to test it out. I was really impressed. You know, again, for most listeners, it's going to get what they need. It may not stand up in low light image or low light scenarios. And again, the third camera that's on the back is just a 2 megapixel macro, or basically a camera that lets you take really, really, really close photos that most people just kind of forget about. They play with it once or twice and never use again. But when it comes to the main camera and even the ultra-wide, you're getting some impressive capabilities here. But yes, that 108 megapixel is very impressive size, sheer kind of megapixel count for, again, for this price point.
Yeah, I also love the, like, to be very superficial for a second, I love the look of the phone. Like, I think it's just a lovely looking phone. It does have that pinhole selfie camera on the front screen, and that means that you're getting the full bang for your buck when it comes to the 6.7 inches of the front display. I struggled to find a flaw with it. The only thing that I don't like is the material of the back of the phone. I felt it was a bit of a fingerprint magnet. But beyond that, I mean, did you have any major concerns with it?
No, as you said, that when I started to unbox it and set it up as my phone, I was just really, I kept going, the display on this is so good for, and it's like, I'm always a fan of a bigger screen, and I always feel sometimes with these entry-level devices, you might have to go down in size, or the bezels might increase in size, but this really sits par on par with the Samsung, with a Google Pixel, their Pro models, their Ultra models even, just that it goes edge to edge. There's only little qualms, like, you know, for most listeners, they'll appreciate the fact they've incorporated a kind of a plastic screen protector automatically, or out of the box, should I say, on the phone, but that's something I find is, it doesn't give that premium feel, but like, you know, if it's been put into pockets and handbags with keys, it'll protect your screen. It'll give that extra little level of protection. But that's something I'd be taking off. But that's a first world problem. It's great that you're getting this, because most of those more popular manufacturers don't even include that. As I said, the battery really is something that I just can't get over. It's size and its longevity. And I think when most people pick up a phone, how often do I have to charge it? Can I take a good photo? And is it fast? This phone, it can last. And last, it's got Android 13 running the latest Magic OS. Magic OS is the operating system that sits on these Honor devices. That's 7.2. And then the storage, then you've got 256 gigabits of storage. That, again, you'll never be worried, oh God, I've taken way too many photos, I'm going to have to start deleting, because that's usually a corner that's cut on a lot of these kind of lower tiered devices. But that's bigger than most entry-level devices. You know, most manufacturers get you to pay more for that premium. So again, yeah, Honor are ticking a lot of boxes, like you said, in the same vein that Huawei used to do back in the day. So it's definitely a very strong recommendation for people that are looking for something under 350, under 400 even, for a good Android device.
Yeah, it reminded me of the S20, the Samsung S20, or indeed, as you said there, the Huawei P30. Like, so many people still have the Huawei P30s and they're reluctant to upgrade because they want something that will offer as many wow moments. Now, I think it's fair to say the camera isn't quite as good as the P30. The cameras in those Huawei devices were just next level. But as you said, for less than 400 quid, you are getting a device that I genuinely struggle to find a flaw with. The other device that we were playing around with is the Honor Magic V2. So talk us through this one.
Yeah, so this is their kind of, this is the future looking device. This is the cutting edge. This is the V, I think, kind of represents the folding nature of the device, creating a V in itself when it's folded inward. Similar to what your listeners might be aware, the Galaxy Z Fold 5 or any other folding kind of book folding, I think is the term. It closes like a book. So this one now is just kind of leagues ahead of what's kind of currently available when it comes to folding devices in the Irish market. I was really blown away by the technical capability that Honor were able to pack into this, or the functionality, because we kind of, you know, up to this point, I've been using or playing around with, say, the Galaxy Z Fold 5, and that's a really impressive folding device, but there's no denying it's a thick phone. It really does feel like two phones stuck together. But when it comes to this new Magic V2 from Honor, when this is folded closed, it's the same thickness as an iPhone. It's kind of mind-boggling what they've been able to do here. And then you open it out to its 7-point, almost 8-inch screen on the inside, again, with a super resolution. This stuff really made me get excited, because I love the bleeding edge of technology. And to see what Honor's doing here, to see its availability in the Irish market, it's ticking all the boxes, really, for me as a tech fan. It's not going to be cheap, obviously. It's on 3 here in Ireland, so you can get it on bill for €819 as a starting price, but you can go SIM-free if you want to kind of splash the cash. Harvey Norman, Currys, even DID, but you're looking at 19, or basically $2,000 for the device. But it's the most advanced folding phone I've ever played with, or the most advanced kind of form factor of a smartphone I've ever seen.
Yeah, when I took it out of the box, I had that exact reaction as well. I took it out and I was like, hang on a second. It's thinner than my iPhone 15 when it's completely flat. And then when it's folded over, it's the same kind of thickness as the iPhone 15. The Samsung phones, the foldable phones, which I do really like, they are thick and cumbersome. I always walk around with my phone in my arse pocket of my jeans. And like when you're doing that with the Samsung foldable phone, it looks like you're carrying around a brick. Whereas with this one, it's like having, say, 6 credit cards stacked on top of each other. It was just so neat. And then when it's unfolded, it offers that premium feel. So say if I was writing an email with it closed over and then opened it out to continue on the bigger screen, the transition happened so seamlessly. There wasn't a lag. There wasn't that fear factor of I'm going to lose the work that I've started or anything like that. It felt like the performance that you'd expect from one of the key players in the phone market.
Yeah, like they've really, really honed that Magic OS as well to kind of make sure that usability is there for people that are kind of jumping between the outer display and the inner display. And yeah, that just, again, the dimensions and the weight, like it's 231 grams, which again, it makes it lighter than the latest. It's lighter than the iPhone 15 Pro Max, which is obviously a beast of a phone. There's no two ways about it. But this is a folding phone with almost an 8-inch screen on the inside. Like, as you said, it's thinner. Once you open it out to its tablet form, it's only about 4.7 millimeters thick, which is just, doesn't make any sense, really, how they manage. But they've still managed to pack 3 cameras onto the back of the back of the phone when folded out. So you're getting a 50 megapixel camera for the main sensor, 50 megapixel ultrawide, and then even then a 20 megapixel telephoto lens. It really, really is the cutting edge. And as I said, it's not cheap. It's basically €2,000. But if you're going to go all in on folding phones and you really see them as the future and you see them as the usability you need in your day-to-day life, you have to give the Honor Magic V2 a look. And it sounds like we're fanboying, fangirling, but it's very, very impressive.
It is. Now, the one thing I would say to you is, and I'm exactly like you, I love having the latest and greatest, but I don't know if I'd spend almost €2,000 on it, because I think I would be afraid of breaking it. And I think my heart might not be able to take the cost of a repair.
Yeah. Well, I guess if the people that are willing to pay the €2,000, they might be able to kind of fork out for a repair. But I totally get it. You want to have that expectation of longevity. You know, folding phones, we've seen in their infancy, they've had those technical issues where kind of grit, grime, dirt, whatever it may be, has got into those creases, or got into those folds, and it's caused a bit of havoc. But all these manufacturers are working as tirelessly as possible. Samsung, OnePlus, even Google with their Pixel Fold, and now obviously Honor with their folding devices, to make sure that doesn't happen or barely happens. You know, there is always going to be outlier cases, but to your point, I get it. You just nothing is invincible. This thing is incredibly thin and light when it is open, so you just have to be that bit more careful. But I feel the benefits outweigh the fear of potential damage or any issues. And I'd like to think you're going to get insurance on a device this expensive also.
Yeah, that's true. That is a good point. In terms of, like, obviously you're our gaming guru here on Tech Talk. Did you like try out any games, mobile games on the foldy phone? Like, because yes, that is a use case that's often spoken about, is that if you are someone who likes playing on the go, the foldable phone gives you incredible real estate to get the most out of your games.
No, definitely. It's I think we have our full review up on the effect.net, and then one of the images is the V2, the Magic V2, sitting in what is a backbone. It's just kind of like this spreadable controller that you slot your phone into, kind of like a Switch dock, or kind of, so you've got controllers either side, so it takes your fingers off the screen, that big large screen, and it kind of holds it like a tablet, or like a Switch basically. So I had Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, a game I grew up with when I was like 12 years old, played it on my old CRT TV in my bedroom, and I thought that was the future. But now, click your fingers, 20 years later, I've got one of the thinnest folding phones in the world in my hand, running the game natively. I'm on a bus, and I'm just like, this is what 12-year-old John would have been, you know, giddy with excitement over, because this is just so incredibly impressive running this. You know, it's, the processor is the latest, one of the, like, just last year's Snapdragon 8 Gen 2. They've gone on to the Gen 3, but again, negligible differences. So without breaking a sweat, it's running this Grand Theft Auto title. And yeah, it's fantastic for gaming, because you've got no letterboxing, you've got no black borders. Mm-hmm. The Grand Theft Auto titles, most Android title or most Android games will take up that entire real estate on the inner display, and it just looks fantastic. Very immersive, even having such a large display in your pocket for when you want to whip it out and play through some of these games. Yeah, I loved it.
And how did you find the battery performance when you were gaming on it?
It definitely got on the hotter side. I'm not going to deny that, like, given its thinness, but they've still managed to keep it in check, because otherwise it just wouldn't be feasible if it got too hot. And I had no real issues. There was no stuttering that I playing for a good half an hour, and maybe the brightness might have been knocked down by the device just to keep things ticking over nicely. But in terms of the visuals, I didn't really have any issues. Now, it did take a chunk out of the battery, but you've got a 5,000 milliamp hour battery here. It's to be expected. And, you know, heavy gamers will be bringing battery bars with them. They might be bringing cables to plug it into the sockets on the bus to make sure that they just don't have that moment where they have no longer have their phone powered on. But in the grand scheme of things, it was very, very impressive for what it was pushing out, and been still able to kind of receive calls, texts, and whatever else.
Okay, well, that is a pretty glowing review of the two Honor devices. As I said, I'm definitely going to be adding the smaller of the devices to my key recommendations now for people who text into the Pat Kenny Show every week, because I just think it is so impressive for the price point. Again, it is less than 400 quid. It's the Honor Magic 6 Lite. And for me, it just ticks so many of the boxes. Before I let you go, I want to talk briefly about the Pixel 8a. Yes. Anyone who listens to me on Newstalk will know I'm a huge fan of the Pixel range. A friend of mine is using the Pixel 8 Pro at the moment, and the images he's capturing are just incredible. And the 8A, which was recently launched, is equally impressive, but for a much more appetizing price point.
Yeah, so I've been a fan of Pixel for many a year now, and I've always been kind of trying to ensure I had the latest Pixel in my pocket for popping out. So I'd be using the 8 Pro most of the time as my daily phone. And, you know, I'll be putting stuff up on Instagram, on my stories or whatever it may be, and people will be like, has that got a John Reilly filter on there? How do you keep getting those shots with the lens or with the zoom lens or whatever it may be? And that's just Pixel doing most of the heavy lifting. I'd like to take the credit, but the cameras on these devices really do speak for themselves. So here we have the 8A, which just released in Ireland, coming in at €559 for the 128 gigabyte model. And thankfully, we're able to get a broad swathe of colors too for people that want to kind of be a bit more unique, a bit different. You've got your kind of your blues, your greens, your porcelains, which is your whites and your black. But yeah, this is ticking, again, a lot of boxes. I know it's a bit more now than we've mentioned with the Magic 6 Lite coming in at 340. This is 5 60. But I think what you're paying for here with Google is those AI smart. They put the latest processor, their Tensor G3, into this, what would be their budget phone. That was the same processor that came in the Pixel 8 Pro last year. So you're par for par in terms of processing power. So you're getting that AI capability in the camera app, in the photo app, in the Google Photos app. You can manipulate images, delete people, delete items, move them around. All that trickery is all packed into this device for this price point. And yeah, I think as a testament to the power of these entry-level Pixels, MKBHD, one of the biggest YouTubers in the world, just last year did a huge competition on his channel with a blind camera test, basically, with the smartphones. Tested 20 cameras, completely blind. Millions of people went on, or millions of people, there was millions of votes cast for the one people go, I like that one over that one, I like that image over that image. And it was just kept going down, kind of like an elimination process or kind of a voting process, to the point that this last year's 7A, or the Pixel 7A, won outright over every other phone in the league. So that just is a very good sign of what's to come with the 8A and its camera. And our full review is on theeffect.net. The camera, again, just delivers all the time. It's really hard to kind of catch it out because it's got those Google smarts. So yeah, we're eating good, as they say, with these devices that are coming to the Irish market.
Yeah, it's funny because I think you and I have had this conversation, you know, on air and off air over recent years, of it's very hard to get excited about smartphones because they're all just constantly getting better and there hasn't been a dramatic change. But I do see things like Honor and the Google Pixel devices coming in and shaking it up amongst the Apples and the Samsungs. That to me is exciting because you don't want to just like default to two brands. I think it's a great thing for the consumer to have wider choice and to have different players coming in.
100%. I totally agree. More competition is always better for the consumer, and especially when it's quality competition. It's not just brands that are kind of offering subpar devices and subpar services or experiences. These Pixel devices have always been kind of loved by their owners, you know, and now with Honor coming in with their really impressive value for money and just those capabilities on both, well, obviously the top of the line device, but even those entry level devices too, just in general, people can go with kind of a bit more reassurance that they're going to have more selection, more options here in the Irish market. That sometimes feels a bit neglected to our larger neighbors and our cousins and whatever else you have in around the world, that we can get more kind of brands available to Irish customers. It's definitely a positive.
It definitely is. As John said, you can read the full reviews over on theeffect.net, but you will be back talking gaming in just a few weeks' time. But for now, John Riley, thanks so much.
Cheers, Jess.
Coming up next here on News Talk, Ed Harty, President of Engineers Ireland, will join me to discuss the work that they are continuing to do to advocate for engineers in this country. Stay tuned.